In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, our Lord is warning us of what is going to take place if we place all our care and hope in the things of this world. All too often we get wrapped up in the things of this world, in pride, in avarice, in the pleasures of the flesh. Whatever satisfies this physical body, this earthly body of ours, that is what we become absorbed with. And the things of the Spirit get left behind. They are forgotten. So much so that we never want to experience the heavenly gifts, the spiritual joys. Or, as to follow the line of the Gospel today, we never really want to taste of that heavenly supper. We find our pleasure in these earthly things, and so we excuse ourselves from ever participating in this heavenly banquet that our Lord holds out for us. Here it is. He sends out His invitation, and one by one the people of the world excuse themselves. I don't want to come. I don't want to taste of this heavenly feast. I've got something that I find more delicious right now. I find the pleasures of this world more important than the pleasures which You offer me. Pleasures which they have not even tasted. It's often like the little child who looks at the food and says, I'm not going to eat it. I don't like it. Well, you haven't tasted it. I know I don't like it. I don't have to taste it. I don't want it. And you say, but if you only taste it, you might like it. That's the way most of us act in the world concerning God. He offers to us this wonderful feast. Here it is. I prepared this supper for you. And we don't even want to taste it. I don't like it. I don't want it. And we have no idea of what it is that we're missing. We're missing out on an eternal paradise, an eternal happiness. Because our hearts are clung to the things which we already know. The things which we have already experienced. The things which we are comfortable with. The things of this world. And we never stop to realize that one day we're going to have to leave this world. Our pride is going to be destroyed. There's nothing left in this world for us to be proud of. Just as we came into this world with absolutely nothing, we will leave this world with absolutely nothing. Those who praised you and rewarded you will do nothing for you. You're gone. The world will not consider your soul. And so all that you took pride in, all your vanity will be brought to nothing. Your avarice, all that you accumulated, all your property, your money, all that you've built up, where will it be when you leave this world? It's still going to be left behind. What about the physical pleasures? All the lust that this body brings forth. Is that going to follow you into paradise, into eternity? No. And if you have sacrificed this eternal supper, if you've excused yourself from paradise, from heaven, in exchange for these earthly goods, what will you have in eternity? When our Lord said, they will not taste of my supper. They were not worthy. Those that were invited were not worthy because they did not want it. They turned up their nose and said, I don't like it. I'm not even going to try it. I don't want it. And our Lord said, fine. You will not taste of my supper. But what does that mean in eternity? To be excluded from the house of God for all eternity. It only leaves us one other option. Those who are not tasting of this supper are going to burn in the fires of hell. They're going to be cast out into the darkness for all eternity. We are fools to tell God we're not interested. We don't want it. We are fools to think that we know better than God. We are fools to think that we really know what is good for us. We trust the world. We trust our own perverted wills, our inordinate desires. We trust all of these things. But God, who comes to us and says, this is what you must do. God, whom we know is all-powerful, all-knowing, He gives us the commandment. He gives us the advice. He tells us what we must do. And we say, no, I don't want that. I'm not interested. I'm going to do my own thing. That's too hard. We have a million different excuses why we can't follow the ways of God. Why we can't do what He wants. Why we can't go where He wants. And ultimately it comes down, as in today's gospel, to those three points. Pride, avarice, and lust. That's what keeps people out of the kingdom of heaven. That's what prevents us from taking part in this great supper, this great feast. And we have here on earth the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We have our Holy Mother, the Church, where Christ offers Himself as our food. He gives Himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity to us in Holy Communion. Come and receive me. But make sure you do so well. He invites us. How many have been invited into the church and have found an excuse not to be here? How many know that we have Sunday Mass here? Know that what we preach here is correct and true, but they are not here. They have found an excuse not to attend. Not to be present. And we can rationalize, oh yeah, they've got a good excuse, they've got a good reason. But what will God say? It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what any of us think. It only is important what God thinks. What reason could be a good reason for not coming to the sacrifice of the Mass when it is being offered? So many of us. But I've got this, I've got that. I have to go here, I have to go there. We're not willing to make a sacrifice. We're not willing to go just a little bit extra or go a little bit further because we're not really interested. And we'll tell the priest, we'll tell the bishop, please hold me excused. I couldn't make it. And I've often contemplated, I've thought about this. If it were a rock concert that were coming to town and you had a ticket, you'd be there. If I were giving away money, and someone said, you know, if you passed out $100 bills as people walked in the door, we'd fill the chapel. If you offered them some kind of worldly pleasure, some kind of worldly advantage, they would all be here, they would sacrifice everything. My yoke of oxen can wait. My farm isn't going anywhere. My wife will still be there. Maybe she can come with me. We can get $200 bills at the door. So much the better. But because our Lord does not promise us all these worldly advantages, we're not interested. The Protestant churches promise you that God's going to reward you. You have to pay your seed money, and they pack the churches. You tithe and God will reward you 100-fold. He's promised you that. In the Catholic Church, we tell you your 100-fold is in eternity. It's in the happiness of a peaceful conscience. Being able to live with yourself. To be at peace with yourself and the world around you. This is part of the 100-fold. But Christ is offering us something better than all of this. As St. Paul says, how can we even begin to compare the two? God isn't offering you $100 bill. He's not offering you some kind of entertainment. He's not offering you this great big banquet. He's offering you Himself. God wishes to give Himself to you. The same God who created all these things you find such pleasure in. The Creator of all of these things. This same God who is all powerful, all merciful, all just, all loving. He says, love me more than these other things. Seek first that kingdom of heaven and all these other things will be given you besides. Come. Come to my church. Come to the sacrifice of the Mass where I offer myself freely to you. I want to unite myself with you. I want to give myself to you. Completely. Under the appearance of bread and wine, I offer myself to you. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. True God and true man. This is what He offers. And how foolish we become when we say, I don't want it. I've got more important things to do. I'm not interested right now. Maybe later. And as our Lord said in the parable today, they will not taste of my supper. They will be cast out. You had your chance. The invitation went out. You chose not to come. And the majority of the world will be left outside. And even those who have entered the church, many will leave because of these three principal vices. Pride, avarice, and the concupiscence of the flesh. They will choose the things of this world over God. They will love themselves, the world, their passions, whatever it will be. They will love this more than God. And they will walk away from the church. They will walk away from God. And they will think that they have a good excuse. I've got a good reason. I've met many Catholics or former Catholics who have said, I couldn't go to church anymore. I couldn't stand what they were doing. I didn't like what Father so-and-so said. He was offensive. He hurt my feelings. No one's ever said that, but that's essentially what it is. I got my feelings hurt, and therefore I'm not going back there ever again. What a fool. You're going to turn away from eternal salvation just because you got your feelings hurt? Like a little child? You're not willing to make the slightest sacrifice, to make the slightest inconvenience to yourself in exchange for an eternal happiness? You're not willing to follow our Lord when He said, take up your cross daily and come, follow Me? Then you deserve to go to hell. You do not deserve to taste of the heavenly banquet. You do not deserve to hear the words of God. What you deserve is to be led by your own foolish pride and vanity, your own concupiscence. You deserve to be enslaved by the things of this world. And that is exactly what happens. And they'll say, oh, no, no, and we go to Bible study every Wednesday. You study the Bible. Isn't that wonderful? How foolish. You cannot understand the Bible if you do not have God's grace. You might as well study rocket science. And you say, oh, but I couldn't understand that. That's too far above me. There's too much math involved. There's too much science involved. I couldn't understand rocket science. You can't even understand the high school physics text. But you're going to study the Scriptures. We're going to study the Bible. And we understand what it says. You're a fool. You want to understand what the Scripture says? You want to understand the Word of God? You must have the grace of God. If you want to understand the physics or the rocket science, you have to have the grace of that vocation. You have to have the aptitude, the intellect, the interest. You can't just pick it up and say, I'm going to study this, I'm going to learn it. And it is even true with religion. You want to understand the faith? You must cultivate your soul. You must make yourself receptive. Christ has told us very clearly, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you will not have life in you. If you are dead, what good is it going to do you to study the Scriptures? To memorize passages from the Bible? To be able to quote chapter and verse? All this memorization, all this knowledge is not wisdom. It's foolishness. And no matter how much you study, you know what? You'll never be smarter than the devil. The devil knows the Scriptures better than you or I. What has it profited him? What good does it do to the devils to know the Gospels? To know the whole Bible? They are still in hell. They are still suffering and will continue to suffer for all eternity. Those souls who can study the Scripture, who memorize it, have right before them their own condemnation, and they will not change. They are lost. And because they have memorized this passage or that passage, their pride and vanity is built up. They think they know something, whereas they know absolutely nothing. They think they understand, whereas they do not understand. Without the grace of God, we are lost. He's invited us. He said, come, taste of this supper. Come, I will show you. I will give you the understanding. I will give you the light. I will give you the food and the nourishment that you need to feed your soul. All you have to do is come and partake. And we will not, because it means to do so, we must sacrifice. We must destroy that pride and vanity within us. We must destroy the avarice and the greed. We must destroy the concupiscence of the flesh. We must overcome ourselves. We must discipline ourselves and bring ourselves into the line of thinking of God. And that we're not ready to do. So we come up with excuses. Lord, please hold me excused. I'm not interested. I've got more important things to do right now. And on the day of judgment, that's what our Lord is going to say. You have not come when I invited you. You are not welcome now. You will not taste of my supper. You will not taste of the joys of eternity. On the contrary, you will suffer the pains for all eternity. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.